Today's Shir is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis by the first wide line. Tanur Rabbanim teaches us the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanim, we learned in the Braisa, Yemei Oil Moed Shebemidbar, the amount of time that the Oil Moed was standing in the Midbar. Abayim Shana Chosachas were a total of 39 years. Yemei Oil Moed Shebegilgal, the amount of time that the Oil Moed was in the Gilgal, were Arbaso, were a total of 14 years, as we've often discussed in our Shurim, because there was Sheva, Shekhovsha, there were 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and Sheva, Shekhovsha, and then there were 7 years when they divided Eretz Yisrael. Yemei Oil Moed Shem Noiva Given, the total amount of time that the Oil Moed was standing in Noiva Given was a total of Chamish Sheva. Was a total of 57 years. Nishtairu, if we take all of these years and we put them together, we will have a total of 110 years. And then we'll also have the year from when they left Mitzrayim till they put up the Mishkan, which will be a total of 111 years. And since we know that from when they left Mitzrayim until they built the Beis HaMikdash, until they came into Beis HaMikdash Rishon, was a total of 480 years. So Nishtayr L'Shiloi, that's how we'll be able to calculate that the amount of time that the Oil Moed was up in Shiloi was a total of Shlosh Meis V'Shivim Chos Achas, was 369 years. And the Gemara now begins to analyze the different halachas, the different facts that were stated in this braisa. Begins the Gemara, Yemei Oil Moed Shebemidbar Abayim Chos Achas. We say that the Oil Moed was up in the Midbar for 39 years. So ask the Gemara, Menolam, from where do we know that halacha? Damamar, says the Gemara, because the braisa teaches us elsewhere. Bishana Rishana Osa Samishkan. During the Osa Moshe Samishkan, during the first year that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, that was the year that they actually built the Mishkan. And Shnia, in the second year when they were there, Hukam HaMishkan, is when the Mishkan was erected. V'shalach Moshe Meraglim, and that was also the time that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim. He sent the Meraglim to see, to spy on the land of Eretz Yisrael. Sheba Gilgal, we just said that the Oil Moed stood in Gilgal for Abbasri for 14 years, as we explained, Shevish Kafshu v'Shevish Chalku, 7 years during which they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and 7 years during which they divided Eretz Yisrael. Menolan asked the Gemara, how do we know this number? It says the Gemara, the Kama Kalev, when Kalev came to get his share in Eretz Yisrael, to get his share in Chevron, he says, Ben Abayim Shana Anochi B'Shloich Moshe Ever Hashem Oysim Mikodesh B'nei L'Regel Sa'aretz. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent me as one of the Meraglim to go see Eretz Yisrael, I was at that time 40 years old. And I answered as I thought was correct. V'ksiv, and the pasuk there continues to say, this is in Yeshua Perek Yedalad, V'ata hina hechye Hashem Oisik Shedev Azeh Abayim V'cham Oishonam, Maz Diber Hashem Esadav Azeh Al Moshe Shaholach Yisrov Amidbar, V'hine Anoch Eyoim Chabeh Chamesh V'shmanim Shana. So by knowing Kalev's age at different points of his life and knowing how old he is right now when he's making this request, we could figure it out. Says the Gemara, because Ki'avli Yardei, when Kleiso went over to Yardei to go into Eretz Yisrael, Bar Kamahava, how old was Kalev? Bar Shivim Vitani. He was at that point 78 years old. We learned that in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which as we said before was the year when the Meraglim was sent, he was 40. And now Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar for another 38 years, that till there was 40 years since they left Mitzrayim. So we see that when the Kalev was 78 years old when he entered Eretz Yisrael. The Kamar, and now, after all those years, after the years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, he says, Ben Chamesh V'Sham Shmoneh Shana. So we see very, very clear that Kalev was, that the amount of time for conquering Eretz Yisrael was 7 years. Harei Sheva Shekavshu, so the Gemara has clearly proven there were 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael. But ask the Gemara, Sheva Shechalkim Menolam, from where do we know that there was another 7 years for dividing up Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, one approach the Gemara assumes is Midah Sheva Kavshu, Sheva Chalku. The Gemara is assuming that the same amount of time it took them to conquer is the amount of time it took them to divide. Ibai Seima, and another way of explaining, Midlamish Kachsla, if we won't be able to explain it that way, we won't be able to explain what it says in the Nevuah Yecheskel. The Pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Mem, teaches us, Be'ez V'chama Shana L'gola Seinu, B'roish Shana Be'ez L'chodesh, Ba'ba Asu Shana Ach Shehoker Se'ir. The Pasuk in this Nevuah is telling us on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on the 10th of the month, which in itself is sort of self-contradictory, because Rosh Hashanah is on the first of the month. Rather, it must mean that there is a time when the 10th of the month is a Rosh Hashanah. When is that? On Yom Kippur. Because Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yovel, is the day that of in the Yom Kippur year, the Yovel year on Yom Kippur, they blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, and that's when the Avodim go free. That's when the houses go back, the houses in the field go back to the original owner. At that point, it's called a Yovel. And the Pasuk is teaching us that 14 years after Yerushalayim was destroyed, it was a Yovel year. The Yovel was during the 36th, the Churban took place during the 36th year of the Yovel. And this happened, Yovel took place 14 years later. So now the calculation goes as follows. From when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael until the Churban Bais Hamikdash Rishon, there was a total of 850 years. If we look at the number 850 year, that is the equivalent of 37 Yovels. 37 times 15 is 815. If the Pasuk is saying that the Yovel was 14 years after the Churban, so we see from here that they didn't count Yovel until they were completely settled in Eretz Yisrael. That means they had the years of conquering the land, they had the years of dividing the land, and then they started counting. And those are the missing 14 years, because otherwise, if we didn't have to attribute for 14 years, we could just say that the Yovel, the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, 850 years, it's an exact number to be divided into 50. The fact that Yecheskel says that there were missing 14 years, those missing 14 years are the 14 years that weren't counted because towards the Yovel, because they didn't start counting towards Yovel until they were completely settled. What took them time to settle? What they needed to do to, in order to settle was divide and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Oil Moichman continues the Gemara. We started the Shia by learning that the Oil Moichman Noiva given, Chamish V'Shevim, that the Oil Moich that stood in Noiva given was 57. Ask the Rambam, from where do we know this then? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says that when Eli HaKohen was informed that the Aron was captured when they were at battle with the Plishtim, the Pasuk says, V'hi keskira esaroin al-kim, when he was told what happened with the Aron al-kim, V'yipama al-kisa achranas, and he fell backwards, Ba'ad yara shar, V'tishavim afrakt v'yomis. The terrible news of what happened caused him to immediately fall back and die. V'tana, and the Brisa teaches, B'shas, K'shmeis Eli HaKohen, Chav Shiloi. When Eli HaKohen died, that was when That was when Shiloh was destroyed. And that was the year, the Baal and Noiv, that they came to Noiv. Continues, Kishimei Shmuel Aramasi, when Shmuel HaNavi died, says the Gemara, that's when Chorv and Noiv, the Mishkan and Noiv was no longer in operation, or Baal and Givon, and that's when they came to Givon, and that's when they put up the Oil Moed and Givon. The Ksiv and the Pasuk says that, V'hibiyom Sheves Ha'orim B'kiris Ya'orim, V'yirba Ha'yom V'yes M'shana, V'yinocha Kobes Yisrael Achar Hashem. The Aaron came to Kiris Ya'orim after 7 months from when it was taken, which was when Eli died. So it turns out that from when Eli passed away, which is when Shiloh was destroyed, until they came to Noiv, and the Aaron came to Kiris Ya'orim, until the time David became the Melech of all Klal Yisrael, were 20 years. Says the Mahani Esm Shana, when we speak about those 20 years, Esm Shana Shemal Shmuel Ba'atzmai, there were 10 years when Shmuel was the Shofet over Klal Yisrael, that without anyone else. That means from when Eli was Nifter until Shaul became king. Then there was Shana Shemal Shaul V'Shaul. Then there was another year that Shmuel and Shaul both led Klal Yisrael together. And V'shteim Shmelech Shaul. And then Shmuel was upset with Shaul because he had not completely eradicated the Amalekim. So there were 2 years that Shaul was king. V'sheva, and then when there were 7 years, the David, that David was king alone in Chevron over Shevet Yehuda. And when David HaMelech became king over all Klal Yisrael, that's when they brought up the Aron to Ir David. And that means, if we think about this, the Aron was in Kiryas Ya'arim for 20 years. So says the Gemara, that the 20 years that the Aron was in Kiryas Ya'arim until David became Melech of all Klal Yisrael, we have to count those years until the Binyan Abayis. The Ksiv, V'yom HaShem Melech David HaYisrael Abom Shana B'Chevra, B'Chevra Melech Shevin Shana, U'B'Shalayim Melech Sholosh V'Sholosh Shonim. The Pasuk says that David was Melech in Chevra for 7 years, and he was Melech in Yerushalayim for 33 years. So we add to the 20 that we've been speaking about another 33. B'Shalayim Ksiv, then when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says, V'yochel of Noisei B'chodesh Sheni B'Sheni B'Sheni B'Arba L'Machusai. So now Shlomo HaMelech put up the Beis HaMikdash 4 years after David. So we have to add 4 years to this count. If we count from when Eli was Nifter, that's the point, as we said earlier, Shiloh was destroyed and they came to Noiv, until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is the time when the Mishkan and Givon stopped operating, we will have 57 years. And now says the Braisa, because of all of these calculations that we discussed, from when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, until the Oil Moed was no longer operation in Givon, we have a total, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, we have a total of 111 years. The Shtayr L'Shiloh, and we take out from the 480 years that were there from when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, 111 years, we will have Sholosh Meis V'Shim Chos Achas, we have a total of 369 years when they were in Shiloh, when the Mishkan was operational in Shiloh. We learned in the Mishnah, after Churban Shiloh, Baal and Noiv HaGivon, they came to Noiv HaGivon, and while they were in Noiv HaGivon, the Bamis became permissible, and the halacha is that the Kachim are eaten outside, in the Kalayim, the Kachim Kalim are eaten all over Eretz Yisrael. And then we learned that once they came to Eretz Yisrael, at that point, we learned Nesru HaBamas, that's when the Bamas became prohibited. Says the Ramban immediately, how do we know that the time that we just identified from when the destruction of Shiloh until the Beis HaMikdash, Bamas became permissible again? Ramban immediately asked the Gemara, how do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tanar Banan, and the Braisa says, regarding the halacha, that kabbanis could be brought on a bama. The pasuk says, "Loisasim kachalash anachna oisim pay hayoyim ish kolayosh beinav klei basa ma'ata al menucha v'necha she Hashem lekechem noisim lach." A menucha, says the Gemara, refers to Shiloh. Nachla refers to Yerushalayim, and the pasuk is coming to teach us that the halacha that we could bring a kabban on the bamas is only when the Beis the Mishkan was in Gilgal, so they never came to Menucha and Shiloh and Nachla and Yerushalayim. And since there was no Oil Moed and Shiloh, and there was no Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim, that's when the bumps are permissible. Because the question is, Lama Chilkan, why did the Pasuk have to separate Shiloh for Yerushalayim? Why didn't the if the Pasuk is trying to teach us that once they put up a Mishkan in Shiloh, they can't have a bama anymore. So, of course, it'll continue indefinitely till they go to Yerushalayim. Why did the pasuk separate Shiloh from Yerushalayim? It must be to teach us k'dein l'heter ben zeh l'zeh. The Torah is coming to teach us that between the destruction of Shiloh and the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, during that period, that 57 years, the halacha is that they can put on, they can have bumps. Says the Brisker Rav. He says there's a fundamental difference between Mishkan Shiloh and Mishkan and Yerushalayim and everything else. He says Shiloh and Yerushalayim, besides that they are places that it's a Oil Moed, that's a Mishkan, they have a kedushas hamokim. They have a certain kedusha to that place. And because it has a kedusha to that place, that's why bamas are prohibited. Whereas, when we had Noiv and Givon, even though Noiv and Givon was certainly considered a place, Oil Moed, with all the alochs of Oil Moed, but it didn't have a kedusha on the spot, on the place. And since there was no kedusha on the place, that's why during the period when they were in Noiv and Givon, the halach is that they were allowed to bring on bamas. Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. So ask the Gemara, what about Maisa Sheni and Nami listening? The Mishnah should have said that the halach of Maisa Sheni and teach us that they brought the Maisa Sheni to Noiv and Givon. Amalei, Maiser Sham Sham Me'aron Kayafi. When it comes to speak about the halacha of Maiser Sheni, the pasuk says, "Vaveisim Shama Lasechem V'Nedrechem V'Zevchechem V'Esmesur Sechem V'Estrumas Yatchem V'Nedrechem V'Nedrechem U'Bekaris Bekarchem V'Tzaychem V'Chatam Shem L'Fnei Hashem L'Keichem." And the pasuk says regarding when the Mishkan was built, the Samta Shomes Aron Heidus. So we learn Gzeir Shava. Kivin the Aron Lehava, any place where there is no oil Aron, which was the case when they were in Noiva given, the Maisa Nami Lehavi, the Locha that you have to eat Maisa Sheni in the place with Shulayim doesn't apply when there is no Aron. The Halacha we know is that Maisa Sheni may not be eaten Chutz of Yerushalayim, but the halacha now Gemara is teaching us is, and when it's not in Yerushalayim, there's another halacha that we often quote, and that is that we could redeem the Maisa Sheni as long as the Maisa Sheni is not yet in Yerushalayim. Having said that, all that is only not in Yerushalayim. But in Yerushalayim itself, we can never be poided the Maisa Sheni, and moreover, Maisa Sheni could only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and now the Gemara is saying it's connected to the Aron. So Rabbeinu Peretz asks, if that's the case, that Maaseh Sheni, as the Gemara is now suggesting, is only connected to the Aron. So he asks that during the time of Baal Sheni, there was no Aron HaKodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. So he asks, if that's the case, why was Maaseh Sheni allowed to be eaten during the Beis HaMikdash Sheni on Yerushalayim? Why is the period of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni any different than the time of Noiv given? So he answers that there's a fundamental difference between Noiv and Givon versus Yerushalayim. He says that although correctly, unfortunately, during the time of this Beis HaMikdash Sheni, there was no Aron, but was a place that could have had an Aron. It's a place, it's a Beis HaMikdash where an Aron could be. Whereas the Mishkan of Noiv given were not on that level of Kedusha that it could have an, that they could have an Aron there. That's why they are so very fundamentally different. Ihachi asked the Gemara if the fact that Maaseh Sheni is not eaten Noiv given, because we just learned this Kseir Shava. So asked the Gemara, so ought to be the halach by Pesach for Kachim Nami, the Sham Sham Mi'aron Yalfi. Why don't we learn the same Kseir Shava? The pasuk that we just read speaks about other kabbonis. The pasuk says, "Vaveisim Sham Oschem Zavchechem," and we should say the kivin the aron lahava. If there was no aron and noiva given in the nami lahava, the halach is that they should have the halach of Pesach and noiva given. And we learned in the Mishnah that Pesach was eaten. And there are many different ways of learning the Gemara. One way of learning the Gemara is that they shouldn't have eaten the Karan Pesach by noiva given during that period, since there was no aron. Another way to learn the Gemara is that when are we limited where we may eat the Maaseh Sheni, and now we're saying the same thing on Karban Pesach, when there's an Aron. But if there's no Aron, there should be no limitation, and we should be allowed to eat it anywhere. We should be allowed to eat it everywhere. Chazanish says that the Gemara's question should be taken even a step further. Chazanish suggests that the Gemara's question should include that we should be allowed to bring the Karban Pesach wherever we want. We should not be limited, not just where we eat it, but we should not just where we're not be limited being where we can be makrovit, and not be limited where we eat it. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish. The Amalechab Mani, who was the Tana that didn't put in Maaseh Sheni and Noiv given? It's following the opinion of Shimon. Domar, because of Shimon, we learned on Daf Kofi Yud Zayin, when he speaks about the kabbonis that are brought on the bamis, after tzibur like kribu, that even the tzibur did not bring on the bama gedola, ela pesach v'chayvus akvul lezman. As we learned very, very explicitly, that they only brought in the bama gedola carbon pesach or any carbon that has a specific time when it has to brought. Avachayvus enkvul lezman, but a carbon chayv of a tzibur, and certainly carbon of a yachid that doesn't have a specific time when they have to be brought, like a parham dovish or tzibur, etc. Hacha v'hacha, both by the bama gedola and both by the bama ketana, loy karef. Now says the Gemara, mais behema, when we speak about mais behema, it's certainly something that would be in the category of chavishen kavulam zmanhu, that doesn't have a specific time. And that's why it's not brought on the bama. This kishmaisa dogla maisa behema. The pasuk says, "As tas is called tefuah zarecha hayoytzi shoda shana shana." The pasuk uses the word maisa twice, asa to aser. Two maisas the pasuk speaking about maisa behema and maisa dogin. And this hekesh is teaching us that just like we don't bring maisa behema on a bama, we don't bring maisa sheni, and that's why the Mishnah did not mention at all the halacha of Maaseh Sheni by Noiva given. The reason it wasn't mentioned, because it wasn't brought. Mechlal says, ask the Gemara, should we extrapolate from here to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that in the Bama Gedola, they brought kabbonis that are not kvulam zman, karev, that would mean that the Maaseh Behem was brought in Noiva given, and that the halach would also be that the Maaseh Sheni was eaten by Noiva given, says the Gemara, absolutely correct in the Omer of Adba Master, Maisa Shani Maisa Behaiva, Nechal Benoiva given, they were eaten Benoiva given, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the Maisa Shani was eaten by Noiva given? Ask the Gemara of Abai Bira, that has to be next to Beis HaMikdash, Velav Tani, answers the Gemara, Velav Tani Rabbi Yosef, Sholosh Biras Hain, says the Gemara that that we learn in this price, Rabbi Yosef teaches us that there were three places that are called Bira. Shiloh, Vinoy, Vigiven, Obeis, Olamim. So, Rabbi Yosef Tarila, Rabbi Yosef was the one that taught this price, Vu Amarla, and he taught us the Inyan, Maisir Shani, Valiv, Rabbi Yehuda. What does it mean it's called the Bira? That it's a place where we eat Maisir Shani, that Noiva Given was the place that they ate Maisir Shani, and that's according to the opinion of Yehuda, clearly not according to the opinion of Shimon, who wouldn't have a carbon Maisir Behemoth brought on Noiva Given, because it's not a carbon Sibak Vulazman. We learned in the Mishnah, Baal Yushlaim, once Klaisal came to Yushlaim, the Bamas became Osir, for they never had a Heter ever again, we're never going to have Bum again, and that's called the area of, that's called the spot that's Nachla. So, teaches us the Gemara Tana Rabbanim. The Brisa teaches us, the Pasuk says, K'lai Basam an Atal HaMenucha V'la Nachla, Asher Hashem Al-Kecha Nois Nolach, Menucha Shiloi, Nachla Z Yushlaim, V'aymer, the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyah, Hoisli Nachlosi Ka'ari Yibiyar, V'aymer, and then the pasuk says, "Ha'ed tzavua nachlosali ha'ed tzavavla." These psukim all refer to the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash is called Nachla Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer Menucha is the Yerushalayim is Nachla. Rav Shimon holds Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachla is Shiloh. Vaymer, and the pasuk says, "Zois Menuchasi Arayad Pai Eishah Ki Visia." Vaymer. And the pasuk says, another pasuk, as Chibach Hashem Etzion, Iva LaMoshvloi. So we see that these, that Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is considered the place of Menucha. Says the Gemara, Bishlo LaMandomer, the Menucha is Shiloi. According to the Mandomer that says the Menucha is Shiloi, the Ksiv, the pasuk says, Al Menucha O Menachla. So the order of the pasuk makes a lot of sense, because as we've been learning, first there was Shiloi, and then there was the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the pasuk says Menucha, which is Shiloi, came first, and then Nachla, which is Yerushalayim, comes second. Elamandam, but ask the coin tomorrow, according to the mandam that holds, that Menucha means Yerushalayim, and Nachla refers to Shiloi. So if that's the case, the order of the pasuk should have been Ela Nachla Menucha Miboilei, says the Gemara, because first came Shiloh and then came Beis HaMikdash, answers the Gemara HaKama. This is the way to understand. Not only the Pasuk says, and telling us when we're allowed to, when we are allowed to bring bums. Not only have you not come to Shalayim, where I could well understand that when we have not yet come to Yerushalayim, we can't have bamas. The pasuk saying afilo nachla, even if you haven't just got the nachla, which is shiloi, namila metisu, and you can't bring a carbon on a bama when you have shiloi. But if it's not that way, then you can. Tana Berei Shmuel continues the brisa, continues the gemara. Tana Berei Shmuel zuvazu, he holds that both Menucha and Nachla refer to Shiloi, and Rashim ben Yechai Omer, Zuvazu, Yerushalayim. So we have, in total, four opinions how to learn this pasuk. The first, Rabbi Yehuda holds Menucha is Shiloi, Nachla is Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon holds Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Shiloi. The Tana Berei Shmuel holds that both Menucha and Nachla are Shiloi, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai holds that Menucha and Nachla are Yerushalayim. And the Malbim explains the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. If Nachla is Yerushalayim or Shiloi, it really is the machloikis that we had other place. We had a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon if Yerushalayim was a part of the territory that was divided amongst the Shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Yerushalayim was divided amongst the Shvatim. And that's why the word Nachla, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is appropriately used for Yerushalayim. Rav Shimon's opinion is that Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the Shvatim. Since he holds that Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the Shvatim, he can't call Yerushalayim Nachla, but Shiloh, which we learned the other day, was in the territory of Yerushalayim, that it was in the territory of Yosef. That's why the word Nachla is permitted. So the Karen Ira asks a question. According to the opinion that says that there's a word that teaches us that Nucha Nachla, that it's Yerushalayim, we can learn from there that after Yerushalayim, we can't have any bummus. But if there's no pasuk that's referring to Yerushalayim, why would we say that after the Churban Habayis, we can't have a bummus anymore? So the Karen Ira answers that even if we'll say that there's no pasuk that says that the bummers are prohibited after Beis HaMikdash, but we learned, and we've said this concept in the name of the Rambam previously in our Shurim, that where there was the Kedusha of the Shechina, that Kedusha can never leave. And since the Kedusha of the Shechina is in Yerushalayim, and that Kedusha will never go away, that's all we could understand, that it never can be permissible to bring a carbon on a bama afterwards, because at that point where we have Yerushalayim, at that point, once we have that Kedusha there, we can't have bamas anywhere else. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Amanda Amar, according to the opinion, the Menucha, Sushila, and Nachla Yerushalayim, Inami Ipcha, or the other way around, so we can understand why the Pasuk uses the word Ela Menucha of Ela Nachla. Because Menucha and Nachla are speaking about two different places. But ask the Gemara, Alamandam, according to the Mandam that says that both are Menucha and Nachla are referring to Shila, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, or the opinion of Shimon Yechai, the Menucha and the Nachla are both referring to Yerushalayim. So it's all talking about the same place. So why would the pasuk word itself Ela Menucha Velam Nachla? The pasuk should have just said Menucha v'Nachla mibayle. It's one place. And it says the Gemara, indeed, Kasha, that's a fair question. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Leman Damar, according to the opinion of Rishmo that says Menucha v'Nachla about Shiloh, so we could say Menucha. The reason it's called Menucha, the Nochem Kibush, because when they got to Shiloh, they were finished dividing and conquering Eretz Yisrael. And it's also called Nachla, the Polga Hossam Nachlas. That was the place where different territories in Eretz Yisrael were divided to the Shvatim. The Ksiv, V'yicholak Lam Yeshua, V'yip Lam Gar B'Shiloh Apil Hashem. Shiloh was the place where they made these divisions. The reason why it's called Nachla, because it's Nachla Soilomim. Ela Menucha. But ask the Gemara, why would it be called Menucha? Why will we call it Menucha? Says the Gemara, the reason Yerushalayim is called Menucha, because it's referring to the Menuchas Aron, as the Pasuk says, we know, V'hi B'noyach Aron. And therefore, it's appropriate to use the word Menucha on Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandama, Zuvi Yerushalayim, the Menucha and Nachla, as Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai taught us, is referring to Yerushalayim. Avil Shiloh, after Shiloh was destroyed, have a Sharia Bamas. Bamas were permissible, as we said earlier in our share, during that period. After the destruction of Shiloh, during the time of Noivin given, had Iksiv. That's what the Pasuk says about Menoyach, the father of Shimshon. The Pasuk says, V'yikach Menoyach as G'diyah Izim v'sam mincha v'ya'ala atzor l'Hashem. That he brought Kabanas not in the Oil Moed. Elamandama, Shiloi, Ubamas have a Sirin. That if we're going to say that it's talking about Shiloi, Ma v'yikach Menoyach, How could he have taken carbon and brought it in his own bama during that time when Shiloh was if the pasuk is saying that Shiloh time bama sa asur, but the Gemara is saying now that according to the man bama that the pasuk is only speaking about Yerushalayim, that would mean that during the period of Shiloh we were allowed to bring kabanas on a bama. So that's all we could understand what Menoyach, Shimshon's father, did in bringing a carbon on a bama during that time. But if we're going to say that the pasuk is speaking about Shiloh, and the pasuk is teaching us that during the time of Shiloh, they can't bring kabanas on a bama, so how could he have brought a carbon on the bama that time? And this is the Gemara, Hirashah. Says the Gemara, Tana Debei Rebbe Shmuel, Rav Shim Ben Yochai, but there's a braisa that was taught by Rav Shmuel, like Rav Shim Ben Yochai, Dama Zu Vazu, that this braisa clearly indicates that both Menucha and Nachla are Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, so in other words, what happened was that Rav Shimon Ben Yochai convinced Rav Shmuel that his opinion is correct. And the way to remember who acquiesced to whom, says the Gemara, Moshech Gavra LeGavri. Rav Shimon Ben Yochai said his opinion all by himself. The other ones, the Rav Shmuel, it was a whole yeshiva, Tana Debei Yishmol. And the pasuk is teaching us that the one individual, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, was able to convince the many, the Talmidim of Rav Yishmol, to follow his opinion. The Sefer Avos Yonason, from Yonason Eipshus, says, the pasuk here was saying that the opinions that hold Yerushalayim is called Nachla. Because we know the pasuk says, "Ofa ato v'al ofa toshev." A person is created from the earth, and that's where he passes away. He goes back there because that earth from which we are created are going to forgive us for help us have the kapara for any averus we did during our lifetime. So just like a nachal, is a place of purification. Yerushalayim, based on Avos Yonason, there's a specific point to be buried in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is the Nachla. Yerushalayim is the Nachal, which is the earth, which is like a mikvah, which is like the earth, which is like a mincha that brings us tahara. Shabbos is called the Yom HaMenucha. Why is Shabbos called the Yom HaMenucha? Because as our Gemara is saying, that Shabbos is, Menucha is Yerushalayim. So Bnei Yisrael says that just like Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains forever, the Kedusha that one receives on Shabbos remains with him for all week long. We learned in the Mishnah Kala Kachim, all of the Kachim that they were magdish when the bummus were mutter, but by the time somebody was magdish a carbon when bummus were mutter, but he was only magdish of the carbon when bummus became usur. Somebody who does something like that is over mitzvah sasei, he's over mitzvah slice sasei, but there is no curse. To which the Gemara comments, Amar Rav Kahana lo shanu, this halacha that somebody who brings a carbon or bama when bummus are usur, but there's no chiv karis if he was magdishit when bamas amuta ela b'shchita when he did the shchita ava ba'alah if he did halah b'chutz even though he was magdish to carbon when bamas were mutter for that karis nami mechayiv says the Gemara Mai Tama. What is the reason for such halacha? Damakra, the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to do shchita outside the Azara and Bamas are Osir. The Pasuk says, V'alei matayimna, ish ishiyala oyla zavach, v'pesachay ma'ilo yivieno, v'nechsa nefshehu me'amav. And the Pasuk says, al smuchim amar. The Pasuk that speaks about right before that, the Pasuk v'aloh chutz, tells us that if you're going to bring a carbon when Bamas are Osir, irrespective of when you were magdashed, you're going to get karis.
says the Gemara, Maskula Rava, as we've said in Shiurim previously, that two words in Lashon Kodesh that sound the same, but are really not the same. There's the word Va'alehem, which speaks about a subject, and there's the word Alehem with an Aleph, which says we're speaking to people. So ask the Gemara, Miksev Alehem, if does the Pasuk use the word Alehem, which would be interpreted that it's speaking about what we just spoke about? The Pasuk says, Alehem Ksev, that the Pasuk says it with an Aleph, and what the Pasuk means is that we're speaking to Klal Yisrael. So how can we define the Pasuk that it's speaking about the Karbanos? Voi, Tanya Abba Klal Zoy Rav Shimon Ami B'Kotchim. Ask them, there's a Braisa that tells us that Rav Shimon taught us four rules. And it tells, and the Gemara identifies the rules. Higdisha Mishasa Sabamas. If you are magnish an animal when bamas are asur, the shock of a hell of a shas is rabbamas, and then you shechted and or malad this carbon at that time, b'chutz outside the zara. This is what we've been discussing in our shiurim. Harem b'essay v'leisasei. That's when you're over mitzvahs say you're over mitzvahs leisasei, and there's a chiyuv karis. Higdisha b'shas het abamas. But if you magnish the carbon when bamas are mutter. However, v'shoch v'hel b'shas isa abamas, it says here clearly, harein b'isa esse v'loisa say, but there is no curse, and it says so for halah as well. Next rule, higdisha b'shas isra abamas, v'shoch v'hel b'chutz b'shas het abamas, you were magdish the animal when abamas were usher, but you weren't, you didn't do the shechita, but you did the shechita d'alah, abamas already mutter, harein b'esse, v'ein b'am keres, there's no chorus for that, v'loisa say, because there is no mizbeach. Hegdisha b'shas heter abomus. V'shach v'hel b'shus heter abomus. If you did everything when the abomus are mutter, so that's clearly a case, the potter m'klum, that you're not, that you're potter. So Tosfos asked the Abbi's question. Potter m'klum means that it seems to say that you didn't do it right, but Patma Klum, you weren't over any specific essay, license, say, chorus. If there's no bummus, then you're supposed to bring the carbon. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to bring the carbon on the bummer. So why is it just use the wording Patma Klum? So Tosfos says that we're speaking about a case where somebody was magdish the carbon with the intention to put it on a bummus tzibur, or He brought the carbon. The carbon was brought into the area, which is within the klayim, the curtains that are around a bamas tzibur. That the halacha is that under those circumstances, the carbon should be brought on a bamas tzibur. Teaches us the braisa that even though under those circumstances, the halacha is that the carbon should be brought on the bamas tzibur, if you brought it on the bamas yachid, potter miklum. But the braisa clearly tells us that a carbon that you were magdish when bamas are mutter. If a carbon that was magdish when your bamas are mutter, and then you were makrevit, shechter or makrevit, when bamas are ready asur, there is no chiv karas. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta the Rav Kana, Tiyufta, it's very clear from this Gemara, Tiyufta the Rav Kana, Tiyufta, it's very clear that he was, that he is, his opinion is refuted. So I saw a beautiful vart. We're learning in our Gemara about Menucha and Nachla, and Menucha, says the Gemara, is the Menucha of Orin. So I saw for Ramey Shapiro, the Ramey Shapiro explains that our Gemara, when it says the Menucha, refers to Shlaim, because that's where the Orin is. It says Ramey Shapiro, because there is no true Menucha without Torah. There is no true menucha without somebody connecting to Torah. We learned in the Mishnah, Ve'elu Kachim, the Mishnah spoke about Kachim, and the Mishnah identify what's the difference between a Bamas Tzibur and a Bamas Yachid. Smicha, that the halacha of Smicha is not by Bamas Yachid, the Ksiv Lefnei Hashem V'samach, only in front of Hashem. Shechita Tzofen, the halacha that a carbon is only brought, a Kachim has done B'Tzofen, because it says, Tzfina Lefnei Hashem. So I saw that the Midrash Tavid says that whenever the Pasuk, we learned many times, the Halacha of Tzofen doesn't mean Tzofen Azara or Tzofen HaMizbeach. The Rambam's opinion is that Tzofen HaMizbeach. Rashi's opinion is that Tzofen Azara. And the Midrash Tavid seems to say that our Gemara is a raya that Shechita Tzofen means Tzofen HaMizbeach, but not Tzofen HaMizara. Because we're saying that by a bomber there's no din of Tzofen. So if we say that Tzofen is related to the place where we do the Shechita, it's most understandable that it won't be applicable by a bomber. Why we need a pasuk to say that it's not applicable by a bomber. But if we say that Tzofen is connected to the Azara, of course by a bomber there's no Azara. Matane Tzofif, the halacha, how we apply the blood around the Mizbech, the Ksiv, the Zarkas Adam al Mizbech Saviv. All those halachas apply only by the Mizbech. The halacha of Tanufa, now we bring a Karim Mincha, we have to do Tanufa, doesn't apply by Bama, the Ksiv, the Hain of Hakayin, Lifnei Hashem. Hagosha, the halacha that when we bring a Karim Mincha, we have to do Hagosha, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk, when it speaks about Hagosha, the Gisha al Mizbech. The Hadin of Hagosha only applies by Mizbeach, not by Bamas Yochid. We learned in the Mishnah that the Tana Kama holds that there was a Kavim Mincha on a Bama. Yet, as we just learned, there was no Hagosha and Tanufa by the Bamas Yochid, but yet they did bring a Kavim Mincha there. And Yehuda Ame Eim Mincha Bama. Says the Gemara Amr of Sheshes, the Divrei Ame Yesh Mincha Bama, the opinion that holds that there was a Mincha in the Bama, will also say that the oifus b'bama, there were kabanas brought from birds on the bama. And according to Yehuda, who holds that ein mincha b'bama, he will also hold ein oifus b'bama, that there won't be any oifus in the bama either. Zvach, because he'll say, the pasuk says, zvachu zivche shlam el Hashem oisam, zvachim, that only kabanas were brought on the bama, v'lai menachas, zvachim, and only Zvachim were brought there, a Mincha wasn't brought there, and neither was Eifus were not brought there either. So I saw a very interesting question. If somebody, according to the opinion that says that there were Eifus brought in Abama, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, when we kill a bird in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not killed with Shechit, it's killed with Malika. What would be the halacha if they brought a oif on a bama? How would it be killed? So the Makar Baruch quotes of Itzla Panovicha that the halacha is that the halacha we learned earlier, that if somebody shoicher oif b'chutz, his chayif is shrut echutz, even though bird kabanas are never slaughtered, because there is a case where they're slaughtered, with shchita. And that is when we bring an oif, we bring an oif on a bama. However, there are other achrayim that disagree, and their opinion is that whenever we're killing an oif that has to be brought as a carbon, the way an oif is killed when it's being brought as a carbon, immaterial where it's happening, it's always going to be with Malika.